welcome to another episode of the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. I'm Brett Henderson and Giselle Kime. Happy to be here today. We have a special guest, actually a very special guest, Matt Chasen. But before I introduce Matt to everyone, I want to have a slight announcement. So this is something different we're doing. So we're going to split the podcast moving forward into two series, more or less a leadership series where we just talk about leadership and grit, determination and overcoming adversity and having failure and what you do to get through that failure and to not quit and have grit. And then also educational series, where the educational series, we'll talk a little bit about the veteran and what they do, but more the value they provide to the veteran community moving forward. And so, Matt, this is actually one of those episodes where if you're a veteran and you're hearing this episode and you don't have a VA rating, this is an opportunity for you. So this is going to be huge. So moving forward, again, we're going to have a leadership series and the educational series. Matt, I'm super excited to have you on here as our first guest on the educational series. Why is it so special? Well, because how long have we known each other?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years. So 23 years or so, I think. So back when you were a young buck and I was a young butter bar lieutenant, right? Because you still like to call me my butter bar. Appreciate that. But yes, you were one of the Marines in my actual platoon and Alpha Company second tanks is what we had back in the day. So 99, right? I think the fall of 99, summer 99, yeah. Actually was a platoon commander in second tanks. So it's awesome. And then we lost connection. We got out when I got out and you stayed in longer. There was no Facebook, right? So you lose connection to everyone. And through Facebook, people are finding each other. So that's how we reconnected. So great to have you back. So how are you? What's going on?
Not much. Doing really well. Can't complain. Life's been really good for me. I love what I do. I love helping my fellow veterans. And it feels good to be able to give back and continue to serve in another way.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. So you were in the Marine Corps. You got out as a staff sergeant, correct? So how long were you in? Just give me a quick
about 14.
Tell me your professional background quick.
So I joined the Marines in 1998, right after high school. And I went to San Diego for boot camp. And then my first duty station after going to MOS school, I became a tank operator. So I went to tank school in Fort Knox, Kentucky. In June of 1999, I checked into 2nd Tank Battalion as a boot lance corporal. That's where our paths crossed. You were my first platoon commander I ever experienced in the fleet. I ended up picking up corporal eventually, and then I reenlisted in 2001, and I got orders to 29 Palms. So I got stationed at 1st Tank Battalion. I checked in February of 2002, and then by January of 2003, I was put on the float platoon and I went out with the 15th MEU and we ended up doing an amphibious landing in Kuwait and invading Iraq. So we got our tanks off the ship and brought them into Kuwait and we sat around in Kuwait for about a month getting ready for the war. And then we went up by the border of Iraq and March 21st, 3 days after my birthday, 4 o'clock in the morning, they said, "Get up, boys. Time to go." We crossed the border into Iraq and started the OAF-1.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
I was a gunner at the time for my platoon commander. I was the lieutenant's tank.
Nice.
Got a combat action ribbon. You know, I was doing my thing over there, you know, engaging the enemy. And after Iraq, when we got done, we got back on the ship. And, of course, I got to go to some countries. You know, I went to Australia. That was really cool. After I came back from Iraq, I went back to came back to 29 Palms, and then I got fapped out to PMO for a year. So I did military police for a year as a FAP, as a corporal.
Okay. What's a FAP? So for the audience.
So FAP is the Fleet Assistance Program, where they take a Marine from one unit and they temporarily assign him to another job on the base, whether it's working at the gym, doing military police, or, you know, there's a couple other ones that you can do.
I think lifeguard was a good one.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
I think
lifeguard.
A couple Marines got to be a lifeguard. Yeah. Like, really? Go be a lifeguard for a year? Are you kidding me?
I got
me?
To learn law enforcement, which is pretty cool. They even sprayed me with the OC spray in the eyes. You have to be pepper sprayed in order to be able to, you know, carry it and use it.
That's probably from drinking too much one day. But hey, no.
So I did that till about October 2004. Then I went back to First Tanks. And then I got orders to go be a recruiter. So I went to recruiter school back at MCRD, and then in May of 2005, I checked into 1st I believe it was 1st or 12th. Anyway, Marine Corps Recruiting Station, New York. And I was Marine recruiter in Long Island, New York for 3 years, from 2005 to 2008. And I did pretty good. I have always been good at sales and working with people. So I got Recruiter of the Year in 2007.
Awesome. That's epic.
Yeah, thanks. And then I picked up Staff Sergeant. I came back to 1st Tank Battalion in May of 2008 as a Staff Sergeant. So I left as a corporal, came back as a Staff Sergeant. I had to learn how to be a tank commander, and I had no clue because I never had the experience. So, and a platoon sergeant at the same time, I had to learn it all. But anyway, I ended up getting out in 2012. And then once I got out, I just did odd jobs in sales and recruiting. I worked for a college for a while. And then I went and used my GI Bill and got a degree in IT. And then I got a bachelor's in project management. So I did IT for a while. I was a network engineer configuring routers and switches. And then I did project management for a while. And then after project management, I kind of went back to my sales skills, and I came across this company called QTC. And QTC helps veterans, or does VA exams for veterans. They hired me to be a recruiter, so I would recruit doctors for them to see veterans to help them with their VA disability rating. And then after that job, I ended up working for a college again, and my manager at the college said, "Hey, what's your VA disability rating?" I said, "Oh, I'm at 90%. He's like, "Want to get to 100? I know a company." I was like, "Oh, okay." So he hands me this card of this company and changed my life forever. What happened was I ended up hiring the company to help me increase my VA disability, and they got me to 100% permanent total. And then they hired me because they found out that I had recruiting experience. So I worked for them, this company called ReMedical. I worked for them for 9 months recruiting doctors for their company to send veterans to these VA exams, right? So then it turns out they had this affiliate program where you could actually start your own business and be an affiliate of theirs, and you bring your own veterans through the company's process to help veterans increase their VA disability rating. So I was like, "Heck yeah, that sounds like me." So I signed up for that. I started my business 2 years ago and been helping veterans ever since. And 2 years, I've increased over 225 veterans and help them increase their VA disability. And I've gotten about 175 of those to 100%.
It's awesome. Thanks for sharing that background. I'm going to have you kind of talk about the process, what veterans need to do, how to get started, all that good stuff momentarily. As you and I were speaking, I'll share. So for myself and my generation, so to speak, the guys that were in the 90s, early 2000s and did their time and got out, most of us, or at least I was under the assumption that I did 4 years. I did what I did. I'm not entitled to anything. I was a peacetime Marine. You do your thing and you get out and you're gone and go away. And that was that. And it wasn't until we started reconnecting and I started reconnecting all these veterans last couple of years after Adam shot himself that I understand the community that there are services out there for veterans and there are ways to help veterans increase their rating. And so for myself, just share why the event that happened with Sharp on our tank. Well, we won't talk about that, but I had a traumatic incident.
I was there. I remember.
Had a real tough time.
I remember sitting in my tank waiting for everything to be all clear. That was the first time I ever actually heard them use November, November, November. I was like, wow. I remember that saying, you know, if something serious happens.
And I'm the one who said it.
I remember hearing that on the radio. I remember you saying it. I was like to this day, I have a vivid memory of that day.
So it was a rough time, to say the least. And so that I had flashbacks from that incident and things would just pop in my mind for several years. And you just sit there, boom, you're brought back into it. And that's PTSD. So long story short, after having these conversations, realizing that I think most veterans in some form or fashion are broken in their own way. We manage that brokenness and we overcome that brokenness and we drive and we evolve and I'll say mature at the same time and just manage its life. But knowing that there are resources out there that are available to other veterans to help you with this is huge. In my own personal story, well, I considered it. I have my own challenges and we're getting them evaluated as we speak. And you help me with the initial evaluation. I know you help. You'll talk about once you have a rating to increase that rating, but it's up to the veteran to get that initial rating himself. But for myself, two things that we talked about this in another podcast, but one is the potential for my son to have college paid for in the state of California, depending on the rating. That's one major factor. If I can have my son have free college because I'm a veteran, that's huge. And then also I use my first VA loan, which I think most veterans are aware you get a VA loan. When I was a second lieutenant, I still owned the house in Hubert, North Carolina. I bought it for $73,000 in 1999 and used my VA loan. And then I didn't realize if you still have it one, I always thought if you have one loan outstanding, you could never get another one. But that's actually not true. You can actually have another VA loan out there. The current one may take away a little bit from your new one, but you can get another VA loan. And if you have a disability rating, you get that VA funding fee waived. And that can be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, depending on the size of the home. So those are huge numbers. And so that's why I realized, like, hey, I'm a veteran. I've got my own challenges. Let me go through this process and see if I can, you know, see where I am. If the VA feels that I'm worthy of a rating or deserve a rating, then I'll get a rating. And then I can use that when I purchase my next home to avoid the VA funding fee. And as my son gets older, potentially pay for college. So that's where I am. And so you're directly involved in helping me there. And then because of our group, the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass, when we get together every month, I know several veterans in that group have reached out to you asking for help or guidance on how they improve their own ratings. Why don't you just kind of hit the ground and say, hey, if you're a veteran, here's the first thing you think about. What's step one?
Well, let's go back to what you were saying. You know, when you first got out, you thought, okay, well, I just did 4 years. I'm probably fine. I probably don't need to apply for anything. That's not true. I mean, if you served the country, even 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, over that time, you've developed some type of injuries, whether you realize it right away or not, because a lot of what happens to a lot of veterans is they don't even realize how badly they messed up maybe a knee or their back or their ankle when they were just in the military, just going on humps, which is, you know, going on like a 20-mile hike with 80 pounds of gear on. That stuff will wear and tear your body. And a lot of veterans, when they first get out, some of them question themselves, especially like, you know, how we are as Marines. It's the grit that you always, it's that grit you talk about. You know, we have that grit where we're like, I'm fine. I'll be okay. I don't need nothing. I'm not missing any limbs, you know, and that's kind of the mentality. So then fast forward, you're like 5 to 10 years later, after you've left the military service, things start catching up to you. You start feeling pain in places that you're like, wait a minute, what the heck's wrong? Where'd that come from? And 9 times out of 10, it ties back to the wear and tear on your body from when you served. I get a lot of guys that come to me and they're new. They've never applied for VA disability. They've been out for about 5 to 10 years. And one of the first things they say to me is just like you said, is I didn't know I could get a rating. I didn't know I qualified for one. I didn't know that I thought I didn't deserve nothing. I didn't think I should go for it. And so, you know, I always talk to my veterans and just say, hey, you know what? You served your country honorably. You were willing to go to war for this country. You did 4 years and PT'd and worked out and went out to the field and did all the training and probably experienced some things that were out of the norm. Yeah, you probably do have some things you should be applying for. You earned it.
Whether you wanted to or not, you did.
Right.
And that's huge. The first thing's mindset, right? So it's mindset. So acknowledging there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't make you a weaker person. Being a human being is who you are. And yes, we did do things and we have done things. And there are physical challenges from that. There are mental challenges from that. And the system is designed to compensate you for those issues you've picked up, right? Whether you wanted to or not. Like I said, we're all broken more or less in some way. I have yet to meet the perfectly functioning veteran that is, I don't even know one looks like Chesty Puller without his scars, right? So I don't think it exists. I think it's a unicorn. So we're all broken in some form or fashion. So if you're broken enough and according to the rules, the system says you deserve to be compensated for that, why not be compensated for that? I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Definitely. And a lot of veterans, when they first leave the military, they're still in tip-top shape, so they don't realize that they do have any disabilities. They're like, oh, I feel great. Are you kidding me? But then fast forward 5, 10 years down the road, and they start noticing pain here and there. They start getting flare-ups of pain in their ankles, their knees, their back. And one of the biggest ones that I noticed when I got out that I didn't realize I had a problem until it hit me was PTSD. I started having different types of issues going on in my life and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And it finally hit me like, I think I have some post-traumatic stress going on here, because I started having like moments where I would, you know, feel panicked in some situations, or I would feel depressed in some situations, or I would get a lot of anxiety. And I didn't understand what was going on until I finally chalked it up to, okay, I might have PTSD. And then when I went and applied for it, I ended up having it. So I ended up getting a rating for it. And so that's the thing is, as a veteran, you always want to apply for anything that you feel could be a possible disability that you have. Because if you don't apply for it and you don't get it service connected, it's going to end up coming back and biting you later on down the road. As far as it gets, disabilities get worse over time. They don't get better. The wear and tear on your body, if you don't address it, it's just going to get worse and worse, especially mental. Things will catch up to you. So it's always good to look through your medical records, remember all the times you had to go to BAS or medical for any injuries, because when you first leave the military, they'll have you sit down and, well, when I was getting out, they had us go through our medical records to help us figure out what we should apply for.
That they did not do when I got out.
I don't know why they don't. Jeez. I know that maybe it was newer, because when I got out, it was in 2012, and that's what they would do. They would have us have our medical record, go through, look through all the times you went to BAS, and start figuring out what you can claim. So like I was looking, I went in for my back, my ankles. When I first applied, I didn't apply for everything because I didn't realize that I had more disabilities than I thought I did. So the other thing is, when you're applying, sometimes people will apply for maybe two or three things at once. And then 5 years later, they'll apply for another two or three things. The best thing to do is apply for everything at once, because not only does it help you increase your chances of getting approved for something, but also you don't want to wait till years down the road to be compensated for your disabilities. And then when veterans come to me, usually when veterans come see me, they already have a rating. Okay. And so basically what I do is we help veterans, and the way that we help them is we set them up with a private doctor exam and we help them with their DBQs. So
what's a DBQ?
A DBQ is a VA exam form. It's a VA form. It stands for Disability Benefits Questionnaire. We run a DBQ service, and what we do, because the VA, let me back up. So the VA about 5 years ago put out a law that they will accept private doctor exams for increases on veterans' VA disability. So veteran, you know, you're a veteran, you already have, let's say, 30% rating. Let's say they gave you, let's say you have a right knee 10% and 10% for your back. Well, if your back pain is getting worse, and most veterans' back pain does get worse, it even shoots down their legs, they get the sciatic nerve pain, you should be at a higher rating, and you should even be able to get your leg service connected for the nerve damage. It's called radiculopathy. So what we do is, the VA put out guidance saying, hey, we will now accept private doctor exams for increasing your VA disability. So that's what this company does. They have doctors in every state. And when a veteran comes to us, we look at their VA disability rating, what they currently have rated. And a lot of times veterans, when they first get their initial rating, the VA gives them low ratings. Okay. And it could be because their disability is not as bad at the time that they first get looked at, or it could be that maybe when they went to the exam, they didn't know what they were doing and they said the wrong things. And that's another thing. A lot of veterans don't really know what to expect when it comes to these VA CNP exams. I've heard stories of guys going in there and they have serious physical ailments, but they didn't know how to articulate that to the VA doctor. So when they come back, they either get denied or they just get a really low rating.
I think that's huge. I'm going to jump in quick. So I went through this myself, and you helped me a little bit. But I remember, you know, and it's true. From doing pull-ups so many years, like my left shoulder, even sitting right now, I can push it. I know exactly where the pain is, like right there. I know where there's pain. So when I do a certain number of pull-ups and push-ups, I get pain in the same spot. It's been there for years. And so when I let my arm hang, it hurts. So I'm sitting there. It used to be I would fly on a plane. Like if I take tension and the weight pulls down, it hurts. But I have tension on it, I'm fine. So letting my arms sag, I used to be able to sleep on planes. I can't sleep on planes anymore because I have physical pain. If I just let myself relax, my arm sinks, I have pain. I was sharing that with the examiner, and I'm like, well, as I'm sitting here right now, I tension, so it doesn't hurt. I'm okay. And she's like, so you walk like this? And like, no, I walk normally, but you have tension, I guess, on your arm, but it was weird. And I remember thinking it was very odd. She's like, so you walk like this because you have tension? I'm like, she was like almost trying to downplay my ability to not properly articulate the pain that I have.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until afterwards I thought about it, like, ah, she's like talking me out of it. So now I'm guesstimating here. I have no proof, no fact, but I would just think in general, because it's a financial obligation for the country, like unless they want to make sure the veteran's deserving, right? Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I would assume the less they have to pay out, somebody's probably benefiting somewhere because there's less money going out. There's very rarely any organization where, hey, you're spending more and more money, you're giving more and more money out that where it's considered commendable. I think the same thing probably goes to the VA.
Yeah.
So the VA probably, and I'm making assumptions, I don't know, if you would just think, looking at how the system's set up, would try to not have veterans get paid or not have money go out, right? Or not reimburse or not compensate veterans for their mental and or physical ailments or injuries from the time they served, because it's money and it's coming from taxpayers.
You know, that's actually a good point too, that you brought that up, because honestly, that's actually been a common thing, is that a lot of veterans, when they go to these VA CNP exams, they don't feel heard. They don't feel like they're getting the exam they deserve. They feel like they're not getting the proper rating that they deserve. They feel like when they talk to these doctors, like you said, sometimes they feel like the doctors are downplaying what they're saying, and they don't feel heard. They don't feel like they're really getting the right rating for their disability. And so that's the biggest way where we can help them out, because the VA accepts private doctor exams. We have a network of private doctors, and we have doctors in every state throughout the United States. We even have doctors overseas. We have doctors in Iraq, Afghanistan, Guam, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Japan. I can help government contractors. A lot of veterans, when they get out of the military, they get those government contractor jobs where they get sent to Iraq or Afghanistan for 6 months to a year. And let's say there's a veteran out there and they want to increase their VA disability, we can help them. What we do is we have them see a non-biased private third-party doctor who's certified and has their doctor license through the state. A veteran comes to us and I look at their disabilities and I see what ratings they have, and I talk to them about their severity of their symptoms. I say, hey, so tell me what's going on with your back. Oh, well, I get a flare up at least once a week. I have a sharp pain in the middle of my back. And when that happens, my range of motion is limited. I can't really move good. And it even sometimes when I'm sitting in my chair, I feel pain shooting down my legs. Okay. Well, they gave you 10%. So it sounds like it's getting worse. It sounds like you should probably be rated at higher. And by the way, you have sciatic nerve pain. That's nerve damage from injuring your back. You should have your leg service connected for radiculopathy. When they come to me, I review their disabilities. I talk to them about the severity of their symptoms, and I figure out what I can help them increase. And then I put it in the VA calculator to calculate what I can get their rating to. And then once they agree to sign up for our services, we send them questionnaires. We call it the mini questionnaire, because it's like a pre-questionnaire to us creating their DBQ. So it asks them questions about their disabilities. Tell me the history of this disability and when your symptoms first began. And tell me how often you get a flare-up. How do flare-ups impact you? What causes a flare-up? What do you do to alleviate your flare-ups? We ask them a whole series of questions, and then we take that information and we transfer it on to a DBQ, which is an exam form. And then we send them to a doctor exam, to a doctor close to where they live, and we send that DBQ to the doctor. And then the doctor just goes through, using that DBQ as an exam form, goes through and talks to the veteran and verifies all the symptoms, talks to them about the severity, how their disability is affecting their life, go over their range of motion, all that. And then the doctor will sign off on their paperwork, and then we will quality review that paperwork, make sure it accurately represents their disability and what the severity is. And then we send that to the veteran, along with step-by-step instructions. The veteran will upload it to his claim, submit their claim, and wait for the VA decision. That's how I've personally increased over 225 veterans in 2 years. And awesome. These veterans, I mean, some of them, I mean, they call me in tears. This is, they're like, oh my God, like you literally have changed my life. I was stuck at 20%. Now I'm at 90 or whatever, whatever the case may be. It's definitely a high, a very, it's, there's a need there for us. I mean, at any given time, there's 4.3 million veterans in the United States at any given time. And most of them are not rated at the level that they should be rated at.
Yeah, you brought up something, and I'm just replaying my own personal experience. If I can help others through my own personal experience, I want to do that whenever possible. For myself, when I went, I haven't seen my medical record since I got out, and that was over 20 years ago. And when I had my evaluation, I just know my knees are shot and jumping on and off tanks for years. And so those tanks are, what, 3.5 feet, four, 3.5 feet? So every time you're jumping on and off, you're – yeah, especially when it's on pavement.
Definitely 4 feet, because it's pretty high off the ground, that front slope, when you hop down.
Yep, and that's what we did for how many times, right? Every time you're up, every time you're down, every single day. So that's where my knees are shot, and that's what I remembered. I had forgotten that I had also played soccer when I was in, and I played for tanks and headquarters when I was over there, and I forgot. Because it's been so many years that I hurt my knee playing soccer, and I went to aid for it. I went to BAS, Baton Aid Station, for it. And that was actually my medical record. And so when I was getting my evaluation, she's like, why is your knees hurt? Like, from jumping on off tanks for years. And she's like, well, what about the soccer thing? I'm like, what soccer thing? Well, you went to Battalion Aid because you hurt your right knee first. I had forgotten. It'd been 20 years. Like, I don't remember what it is. So you brought up a good point. Get a copy of your medical record first. And kind of go through it. I was just trusting the system. Like, in my mind, as a veteran, I figure the system, quote unquote, which is probably naive, they would do whatever's in my best interest to help me, right? And not think the other way around. It was, if you're not quoting a specific incident that's in your medical record, it's hard to get that, quote unquote, I guess, is it approval or validation?
Yeah, definitely. You know, cause here's the thing. The VA does look at medical records, and there's times where veterans will apply for disabilities that they have no record of, and they get denied for it. And so not all the time, but most of the time they will get denied if it's not in their medical record. So there is a way to counter that. Let's say, for example, you don't have it in your medical record, but let's say you have PTSD, because think about it. When you're in the military, you're not going to have PTSD while you're in. You're just dealing. PTSD usually doesn't get claimed till you get out of the military. Okay. So obviously that's not going to be in your military record. I mean, unless you actually went to therapy while you were in the military, which most guys have not. So the way that we can still apply for that is, once you're out, you start noticing, you know what? I'm having all kinds of mental issues. I'm having anxiety, depression. I think I need to go talk to somebody. So what you can do is you can either go to the VA and see a therapist at the VA, or you can see a civilian therapist. And then once you see them for a while, it'll build up medical records. You can take those records, and that's your evidence. Look, now I'm seeing a therapist, and they discovered I have PTSD and all these issues, and I've been talking to them about it. And now I've got medical records to substantiate that I can use as evidence to submit a PTSD claim. So even though you don't always have everything in your medical records, you can still go get seen for it now after you're out and build up those medical records. That's what a lot of veterans don't know. A lot of veterans think, oh, well, it's not my medical record. Didn't happen. Can't apply for it. That's not true. You can still apply for it. There's so many things that a lot of veterans don't realize the VA will actually grant you for service connection. There's a lot of disabilities out there, like headaches. People don't know they can apply for headaches. Irritable bowel syndrome, acid reflux. Those are things that veterans don't realize they can apply for. And they're just thinking, oh, ankle, knee, back.
We're tough. You know, like, I remember. And this is one of the things, my ankles are shot, and I still remember I never rolled my ankle. I was at the basic school, TBS in Quantico, in training before I even hit the fleet, soccer again. And I rolled my ankle just in PT playing soccer, and it's bad, really bad. But at TBS, you're invincible, and you never do anything. You never get aid. And I still remember, I think I was acting as the platoon sergeant at the time, And I was in PT gear because I was icing my ankle, and another lieutenant was platoon commander. So we went to see the SBCs, and they're chewing me out. Like, why are you in PT gear? Why aren't you here? Like, I blew out my ankle and I'm icing it. I'm just trying to be able to walk right now. And that's something you didn't go to aid for. You just slammed some Motrin and you just powered on, right? You did, because you'd right. never say anything. And now my ankles are shot and I can't play soccer now because if I pivot.
Plus, you were looked down on.
What's that?
Plus, sometimes it was frowned upon to
That's
go to
exactly
BAS. Sometimes,
that's exactly it.
Sometimes, oh, stop being a bitch and suck it up. You know, sometimes you get those other military guys that are like, hey, what? You're going to BAS? Stop being a bitch and suck it up. And back then you didn't realize that's not
you hurt
good.
Yourself. Yeah.
They kind of got in the way of you being able to get a rating then by not going and reporting your injury. You know, yeah.
Let me play devil's advocate though for a second. There were those, I will say Marines. We were in the Marine Corps. That would go to aid all the time, right?
And oh, the sick, like, bay, the sick bay commandos?
sick bay commandos, yeah. right? And yeah. they're always something wrong, always this. Oh, we got a big exercise going on. Oh, I got to go to aid. Something like. So yeah. I hate to say one bad apple spoils the bunch, but there is that too.
Touché.
And so, and you don't want to be viewed as that,
yeah.
right? Especially actually, there's the enlisted side and the officer side, especially as an officer, you never, ever want to be looked at that way. You have to operate at a different level.
Yeah.
And so if you're an officer and get labeled as, oh, you're weak, yeah. but it is what it is. So that's a factor too. So why don't we, this has been really good. I appreciate you sharing everything. So number one, let's summarize again. I'll kind of take away and then you add to it. So first things first, there's nothing wrong with getting an evaluation. If you're a veteran, there's nothing wrong, nothing belittling. There's nothing to take away anything you've done. It doesn't belittle you. You're not less of a veteran if you go get checked out by the VA because there are things that are wrong. So number one, having that self-doubt or self-guilt, throw that out the window. That's crap. Don't do that to yourself. You've done the work. You've deserved. You volunteered to fight for your country. You volunteered to serve your country. Your country has every right to take care of you for you volunteering. So it's okay, number one. So mindset, get through the mindset. It's not negative. And then actually, once you have that positive mindset, what are the steps again? And how does someone reach you, Matt?
Okay. So when you're first getting out of the military, usually they should talk to you about it. Usually they have either a separations class. We used to call it TAPS and SEPs, I believe. And they usually tell you, you know, hey, once you get out, you should be able to apply for VA disabilities. You want to go through your medical records and see what you could potentially apply for all the things that you got injured while you were in and all the times you went to medical. But for those who don't get that kind of guidance, if you're listening to this right now and you're a veteran and you've never gone to the VA to apply for VA disability, and let's say you do start noticing pain in certain places like your ankles or your back or your shoulders, or even maybe mental pain, maybe you experienced something, maybe you saw something that was traumatic that you didn't realize, but it had an effect on you. I strongly suggest that you apply for your VA disability. But if you're not sure how to, there's resources out there. There's actually, if you go to you, they call them VSOs, Veteran Service Officers. They will help you apply for your disability for free. There's other resources you can do as well. You can go to the DAV, which is the Disabled American Veterans. They'll help veterans apply for their VA disability. Or you can also go to any VFW. Any VFW will, if you walk into a veterans, a foreign war bar, they help veterans apply for new VA disability ratings. And last but not least, you can come to me because my company, which is VT Benny's, it's supposed
VT
Benny's. VT Benny's, it's short for Vet Benny's. When I went to register the business, I had to take the E out because the name was already taken. So it's okay. VT Benny's. I'm on.
And how do you spell Benny's? Was it a Y or I?
It's B-E-N-N-I-E-S.
Is it VT dot Benny's or just VT
just
Benny's?
Just VT space Benny's. If you look up VT Benny's on Facebook, I have a Facebook page. I have a website, www.vtbennys.com. And not only do we – and here's the other thing I forgot to mention is we're actually within the next 3 to 4 months going to start helping veterans do initial claims. It's a new service that wow. we're going to provide, which is going to be huge. Right now, we currently pretty much mostly help veterans increase their VA disability that they already have service connected. But I'd say by March, maybe April of this year, we're going to start helping veterans who have no rating at all. So if you come see me or you contact me, I can help you apply for your initial claim. Or if you have a rating that you feel is lower than it should be, I can look at your disability rating and I can help you increase it if your, you know, symptoms have gotten worse. So I definitely strongly recommend any veteran who, especially ones that don't have a rating yet and they're kind of on the fence thinking, well, should I apply? Do I deserve it?
Doesn't hurt.
You know what? It's no for sure unless you try. And honestly, it's not just about you. Think about your wife. Think about your kids. I mean, think about, you know, you're also
– or your husband if you're a woman.
There's these benefits can help your family too. So – and you earned it. So I definitely strongly suggest, you know, every veteran who's served at least, you know, 4 years or even less. I mean, if you have injuries or you feel side effects from your service – anything at all, any pain, any mental things going on, any internal problems, irritable bowel syndrome, stuff like that. I mean, you can apply for anything. I strongly suggest you either go see a VSO, a veteran service officer, or someone that can help you. But of course, I strongly suggest you come see me because I will definitely help you. Sense. I've helped countless veterans for free figure out how to apply for disability, but we're going to actually add it as a service a couple of months.
That's great. I wish you would have told me that several months ago before I had to go
figure it out myself.
Go figure. No, it's all good. It's all good. So Giselle, as a civilian kind of outside looking in, what are your thoughts as you hear and see this? I'm just curious to hear your mindset.
I was just listening to Matt and it's kind of hard to believe that veterans don't know about this service. I feel like this should be a top thing that should be discussed when you're leaving service.
Maybe it is now. It is just, I can only speak from my personal experience. And when I got out in 02, it was pre-Iraq 2. And plus I was an officer and I was running around the weekend. And, you know, as an officer, once you make your decision to get out again, you're kind of blackballed from the community because you're not a lifer. And so I just had to run around and finish my investigation and get checked out and go away. There were no TAPS or SEPS class or anything like that for me. It was just, you're getting out, whatever, go away. And so hopefully that's changed, whether you're officer or enlisted. And so I think everyone should have that education and the knowledge and the opportunity, because you serve, you chose to serve. You know, I chose to serve. I gave my time. I would give my life if it came up. So I think this is really, really good. So Matt, thank you so much again for joining. This has been a great series. We're actually providing practical advice for veteran entrepreneurs and veterans in general on how they can, before the podcast, you're here, after you're there, you have knowledge, knowledge is power, education. And then with that knowledge, you don't have any benefit unless you implement or take action, right? So once you have knowledge, the key to benefit from that knowledge is to take action, implement it. So reach out to Matt, have a conversation. Who knows where it's going to go? But if you don't, you'll never know.
Definitely.
Right? So have a call. You know, Matt's mildly social, a little bit friendly, good guy to chat with. And I really appreciate this. I appreciate the direction we're going with the educational series. And thanks for being number one, brother. And thanks for being one of my Marines from 20 plus years ago.
Definitely. It was always a pleasure. It's been a pleasure working with you. And I look forward to the future with you, working with you. It's really cool to be working with you. Who would have thought when I was a little Lance Corporal, I would be sitting across from my lieutenant 23 years later, helping other veterans, talking about VA disability. And I love it.
Yeah, man. Well, give a plug too. We've got why don't Giselle, you plug. So we connect once a month now. So if you're a veteran, you're listening and you want to be part of this, we have the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass meeting. Giselle, you talk about that.
Yes, every month, the first Tuesday of every month at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we all come on a Zoom and we just chat about our businesses and what we do, how we can help each other. It's a great networking group. If you guys want to join, please reach out. You can go ahead and email me at Giselle@swe90.com and I'll share some more information on it.
Giselle@swe90.com. Awesome, guys. Thanks so much. Great podcast. Looking for the next one. Out. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass podcast. Don't forget to click the follow button to become notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through IFP Investors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, a registered investment advisor. IFP and Strategic Wealth Endeavor INC are not affiliated. The views expressed are that of the host and are for informational purposes only, and in no event should be construed as an offer to buy or sell securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Neither IFP Investors LLC, IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, nor their affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. The information given herein is taken from sources that IFP Advisors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners.